You're listening to How Did You Scale That? The show where we dive into what's worked for entrepreneurs who have made over seven figures in their business. Whether it's a tactic, a marketing campaign, a sales system, or something ridiculously simple, this is the show where we unpack it and give it to you to help you grow your six-figure business into a seven-figure business and beyond. I'm Luis Diaz. Now let's meet our guests for today.
Today, I have a really cool interview with a man named DJ Van Kuren. Now, that name might not mean anything to you, but for those who are in the real estate and family office space, they would know that he's one of the top real estate professionals for family offices in the country. He was also named top 30 real estate investors at a family office by Trusted Insights. Now, in this interview, we don't just talk about real estate. We get into the nitty-gritty of how he actually got there, which is very surprising, starting out as a financial planner and working in retail and then going overseas to Vietnam and starting a business there. And then finally coming back to the States and finding his passion for real estate and really ascending up the ladder and building a name for himself in that space. So a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of cool things. If you're an entrepreneur and you've pivoted in different industries, I found it really interesting to see how he transitioned from one industry to the next and really how he built a name for himself in each of those industries. So hope you enjoyed this interview with DJ Van Kuren. Make sure if you have questions to hit him up. We also cover a little bit about what the market is because he's actually very, very close and studies a lot of the market trends. So he was actually able to give me a definitive answer as to when he thinks the market, the real estate market will crash. And I won't spoil that for you. It's towards the end of the episode. So stick around, enjoy. And here's my interview, DJ Van Kuren.
So one of the things that struck me when you were sharing kind of your whole trajectory from grad school or undergrad to now was just, I wanted to get from you the conviction of what was the thing that was like, I'm going to go to this new country, start this coffee brand. Was there something in the back of your mind, like a fail-safe plan, or was it like, I have a very strong conviction that this is going to work, and here's why. Or if it doesn't work, I'm fine either way because of X, Y, and Z.
So that's a good question. I think it was a combination of things. One is that I was very entrepreneurial, type A personality coming out of college. And when I went into financial planning, it just sapped the life out of me. And I think one of those reasons was because, you know, you're saying I'm going to be with these people long term. And you're talking about, you know, everything from planning for your retirement and for your kids and your insurance, right?
Right.
So you're talking about, you know, the end of life is what you're planning for, is really what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it just sucked the life out of me. And I'd always try to do something with, at the time, he was my best friend. And you know, like I said, I started going over 95. And so when there was an opportunity, I just said, done, right? Here's a chance to get out of the muck that I got into.
Right.
Because I also said, if I'm not making a certain amount by a certain age doing that, then I don't want to look up 20 years from now and say, what happened?
Yeah.
And so I was motivated in many regards. And it was so cool over in Vietnam at the time, too,
Imagine.
And to be able to build a brand and stuff like that. So it just so happened everything came together at the time.
Interesting. Yeah, I know financial planners and they're not the entrepreneurial type. They just different personality. They're great people, but different mindset, different mentality. So makes total sense. Going into knowing with what you know now, if you were starting over today, what would be the trajectory or path you would take? Obviously, you're in a very, like you've built your name and being the go-to for real estate for family offices, and you've really built a name there and that's where your expertise is. But if you had to start over, what would it look like? Yeah, curious to hear what that sound, that's for you.
Well, I'll tell you mean going back to college, for example?
And go back to mid-20s, just, you know.
Yeah. I would have, if I had to go back, one is I would have followed my entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. I think that eventually I would have ended up in real estate just because I absolutely love it. It comes easy to me. And actually, it wasn't until I was 45 that I realized what I actually wanted to do with my career, which was family offices and real estate. So That took some point in time, but I think because of my interest in real estate ever since, even in college, I would have ended up there. But I think starting off on the going out that entrepreneurial line where, you know, you have a belief at that age, you can do anything, you can accomplish anything, and to run with it. That's probably what I would have done differently at the beginning. But with that being said, I will tell you this, is that where things are today and what's happening, there's been benefits from being an advisor and understanding that area of capital. Because I have experience from that. I have experience with RIAs, with institutions and that family. So every component of that, and it's interesting because families, even though they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, are more like the retail client than they are an institutional client, which people don't understand. And so it's come full cycle, but if I could have been more entrepreneurial, I would have done that.
From the beginning, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. In terms of, you mentioned, so when you moved to Denver, you didn't been there a year, didn't know anybody, and you sent an email out to kind of like share like all the real estate developers in the area, and you were able to kind of open some doors then. It's interesting. So for context, I just moved to the Midwest. Eventually want to get into real estate. So it's an interesting take you had on that in terms of networking and just figuring out how to make connections in the general area. Yeah, I guess is there advice or things you do differently knowing the situation or being new into in a different location or wanting to get into real estate now than what you did before? I think what you did was pretty spot on, you know, but there's probably more resources now than there was when you first did that. So I'm curious how it's any different.
So you're asking what I've done something different going into Denver?
Going into any new market and finding the right players and the right people.
Well,
about your network or connections.
I'll tell you, I was already having real estate, you know, involved, and that's what I wanted to do. Mm. And so it was a matter of reaching out about that. Now, working in the family office space happened by accident. And in fact, 95% of the people that work in that space, they fall into it. Mm. Is literally what happens. And so I didn't see that coming.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's like when you move to a new city, you just got to get out there and start meeting people. And then fortunately, you know, when they asked me to come aboard, then they started paying for all my travel, which allowed me to make all these relationships and everything else. So, you know, I think that, you know, that is ironically, when I moved to Seattle after college, I was working my first job in North Carolina. I moved out. My dad brought this the other day, is that I went out without a job. And I just moved out there after a girl who fortunately today still is my wife.
Right.
But, you know, but at that age, I'm like, eh. So I at that time, I gravitated, and ironically is where I met, you know, my partner that I had going to Vietnam. So it just happened to work out like that. But you just have to take, look, the one thing I've learned is that massive action solves all problems.
Mm, that's a good one. That's a good one to remember. Absolutely. I definitely can see that in just your story and trajectory. One of the last things I want to touch on here, you mentioned even in the, when you interviewed a friend of a mutual friend of ours, Chris Larson, timing the market, something you mentioned you are a believer in and you studied a lot. I'm curious as to your, not prediction, but just thoughts on where the market, just specifically the real estate market, is going. You hear a lot of people with very, very stark or very, very concrete ideas of where it is going. So I'm curious to hear from you in the next 2-3 years where you feel it'll be. And
I can tell you exactly that. I've been going on the record for about 5 years now. So at these conferences that I'm at, I'll literally bring it up and I'm saying, this is what's going to happen. So you can go back 250 years in the US, the UK, and Australia, and real estate runs in 18-year cycles. And, you know, we go into the same problem. You know, it's like we don't learn from the past, right?
Right.
So when you come out of recession, there's not a lot of building. Lenders don't want to lend, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, during that recession, you burn off all the excess inventory that you have.
Right.
And then things start slowly, and then, you know, the building starts to take care of that demand, and then banks start loosening up.
Yeah.
And then they start building too much, and, you know, so it comes into this cycle. Now, we hit COVID, you know, that's a black swan event, right?
Yeah.
So we lost about a year and a half. So I've added another year or so, but we won't see a recession in real estate to about 28, 29. And you look at multifamily, I mean, the fundamentals are there, still there for another 5 years. And we're running into issues where we're going to see a lot of great opportunity in multifamily. And that's because of, you know, if you haven't made money since 2012 in multifamily, you shouldn't be anywhere near real estate because everything's gone up, you know.
Yeah.
But now what we're seeing with the rise of interest rates, cap rates, that you're finding out who's really experienced and who has planned for and understand it. And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation we can get into why there's a problem. But, you know, there's still so many components. It all comes down to the fundamentals and what the demand is, locations, where people are moving, where the jobs are, where the opportunities, cost of living, quality of life. And there's still a lot of runway, you know, for that.
That's interesting to hear. Super interesting to hear. Does the real estate, I'm assuming it does, the real estate market follows the financial market in terms of stocks and bonds and things like that. Is there a lag or is it, they're pretty much on par with each other? When one dips, the other one dips, or is there a
the market lag? Does run ahead of the property markets.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still, you know, here in Denver, we have a shortage of housing and we're getting a ton of people moving here. More companies are moving for jobs, you know, and there's a quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all that pressure that's happening. The question is, and you have a lot of migration coming out of New York. I mean, it's funny. People say that Florida is now the sixth borough because of so many people moving, you know, leaving California, leaving Chicago. Well, where are they going? Right. So
yeah.
They're going to locations that is just driving demand.
Yeah. Yeah. Living in Miami the last 3 years before moving here, I can tell you it's insane. The amount of people moving there. Yeah. And everything going up and finding a place there, very difficult. I guess for you, for leaving to cap this off, DJ, I want to definitely get words of advice, or if you had to say one thing to your, let's call it 35-year-old self, who would be in this market. So same 2023, but somebody who has less experience, but is still a desire and a hunger to grow something big in the real estate market, or grow, become, you know, financially free in the real estate market, using real estate primarily. Yeah, any word of advice there?
Yeah, you know what I would? I'll tell you the first thing that comes to my mind. Everybody in their life, something happens at different points of your life. It could be in your 20s, it could be 30s. It's typically not. It's usually your mid to late 40s into your 50s where you stop caring what people think, you know, because it's always like, well, what do they think about me? Or can I do this? Can I not do this? You know, and everything's, you're questioning everything. And that doesn't give you the confidence. And sometimes it allows you not to succeed the majority of time, right? Because you've got all this stuff going on. And anybody listening to this, even if they're in their 60s, they know exactly what I'm saying. And if you're younger, you're like, yeah, you know, I hate what people think, or, you know, thinking about that, worrying about stuff.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is, look, you're going to get to a point in your life where you just don't care anymore. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to do what I need to do, put my head down, just make it happen. So my biggest advice would be do it now. It's going to happen eventually. But if you do it now and you're in your mid 30s, you just gained 15 years. Of you know, making it happen. And you know, why wait? And that's probably the biggest thing I could say, because when it does get to the point where you're like, you know what, And my daughter says this, and she's like, why not me? You know, she has a different mentality. Of course, she knew what she wanted to do since she was 10 years old. So that's the biggest thing, is just get out of your own way.
That's super helpful, super, super meaningful for a lot listening to this, myself included. So TJ, thanks so much. For people who want to know what you're up to, I know you're on the Forbes Council for Real Estate. You got the book. We'll link that down below. For those who want to keep up to date on you or connect with you, what's the best place for them to go?
They can go to, I have a website, which is djvancuren.com. So my name. And that doesn't get as updated as often as it should be. You can follow me on LinkedIn. I also have the Family Office Real Estate newsletter on LinkedIn, which you can sign up for, which people say is very helpful. And, you know, check out the FORE Institute, which is FORE Institute for Family Office Real Estate. It's not .com. It's not Institute. And then, you know, Google me and you can probably track me down.
Got it. Will do. Thanks again for your time, DJ. I really appreciate it. And great chatting with you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You're listening to How Did You Scale That? The show where we dive into what's worked for entrepreneurs who have made over seven figures in their business. Whether it's a tactic, a marketing campaign, a sales system, or something ridiculously simple, this is the show where we unpack it and give it to you to help you grow your six-figure business into a seven-figure business and beyond. I'm Luis Diaz. Now let's meet our guests for today.